We're going to talk a little bit about the Word here this morning, but before we get into the Word, some people would like to share. I think you heard a week ago, we had the annual TFC camp, and the Lord really worked there, and there were some people that really got touched by the Lord, and they wanted to be able to share with the body the good things God's doing. So we're going to have some sharing, and then we'll have the Word. So Tim, we're going to have Tim come up. He's the director of TFC, and he's going to open for us. Come on up. Let's welcome Tim.
I just want to say hi to David. Holy smokes, good to see you guys over here, man. It's good. I heard you were coming. And welcome back, Sue. Good to have you guys. Well, listen, I met a couple of you guys, some people I didn't know today. But, all right, if you were at camp, you know the rail. You know it. Ready? John 1:1, are you ready? And if you know this, come along with us. Let's go. That was lame. Start over. Let's do it. Ready? Go. Two. Watch them stumble over this one. Three. Yeah, they don't got that one very good. They got the next one good. Let's go. In him was life, and that was the light of man, right? And then the next thing is really big because this is really what we were talking about. You guys remember this? In case you don't, here's a book so you can read it. Ready? Got that? Go ahead. Let's go. The light does what? What did the darkness do, though? One of the cool things about the camp this year was our theme. We started in January with our planning. It was all about the light. And we happened to be doing the book of John for our Bible quiz program. And my wife and Justice and I and some others who were involved with it, Josiah and Corey, were just doing some basic strategic planning. And as we got through it, they started coming up with this. We started working into things and all these themes, and one kept coming back to this light thing. And we all know about the light, but it was a little bit different picture. We focused the entire week. There wasn't any event that we did that did not focus on the light and the light within. What is Christ in us, right? And the thing that hit me when I was reading it, I read it every day. I'm trying to memorize. And again, I'm on a fast track. I've got 1 Corinthians 13 down after a year and a half. And I've got up to 14:9. So I have I've got to count how many. 13. I'm at about 25 verses now in a year and a half. And I'm pretty excited. Now I've got John. So I'm down to 5 verses. Now you're laughing. But when you get this old, it's not so easy to put it away really good. Especially when you try to get it on the level of a quizzer. So, the thing that came to me that was so important was that darkness. The light came, and the way the NIV puts it, it's actually not a bad way to put it. It said, but the darkness understood it not. I mean, basically, it did not get it. And I thought, what a great thing to present to everybody and to all of us. We should not be weirded out because the world hates us. How can darkness understand light unless someone brings it to them? They cannot. So part of our theme was finding a way to bring that light to a lost world that just doesn't understand it. Of course they're bitter. Of course they hate God. Of course I thought Christians were fruitcakes. I didn't know what they were. I didn't know what they believed. And somehow someone got the message through to me. Amen? That's really what we talked about. But I'm going to give you a short view of what I got out of the verse. That light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then the next verse, I think it's kind of crazy, but it was the verse that impacted me most. And there came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. And I asked myself the question after reading that, shouldn't my name be there? Shouldn't my name be there? Shouldn't I be the one sent from God? Shouldn't you? Shouldn't we be coming from God with a message to this generation? Our names should be there. And I think they are. For many of us, they are. But I want to get into the week itself. The week itself was awesome. I mean, it just, everything from the games to the devotions, everything centered on this theme all week long and to the last night. And I'll give you a short thought. The first day we had several kids come to Christ. It was awesome to see God help them understand his light that week. And many, many kids began changing right away. And our focus is, We share the gospel up front, and we spend the rest of the week helping them out and preparing them to go back, because then the long-term work starts. And now we're having strategic planning with my junior high and high school and college people on how to keep funneling these guys into the body and keep them growing and going. Because honestly, most of us have really pretty decent families here, and a lot of those kids that came, they didn't. I mean, we had several pretty intense cases there we had to work with, and we're trying to follow that up and do that. So I wanted to say about Monday, it was some orientation, some stuff happened. Monday night was awesome. Tuesday, lots of different things were going on. They were learning about being separated from the world. They were learning about all types of things. And then on Wednesday, we had our purity sessions for the guys and the girls, and for the different, Mike Bond came out. Normally David gets to come out, but I've been working him too hard, so I gave him a break. So and Diane came out and shared as always and did a great job. And then and really, I think 2 years ago, the last night, Friday night, was the big boom night, right? Everything just kind of exploded that night. It was a great time of the Lord really breaking people. This week, every day was just steady, and it got, and everybody that came on, I said, I've never seen a deeper group of counselors as you've ever had, and the work that was going on was deeper and deeper each day. It wasn't even building. It wasn't like Monday night was a cool night or this night. Every night would just had its own thing in people's lives, and it was impacting different people. By Friday night, it really wasn't a message type thing that did it, and I'm just going to tell you straight out what happened. First of all, I don't know where you're at on the healing thing and everything like that. You can call it what you will, but I've been working with Peter Sears for pretty much since I've been here, since he was a little boy, literally, as young as Joel and Justice, my sons. Peter is now, what is he now? 17. Peter, for the past 2 years, has had these excruciating headaches. In fact, he's gone to all kinds of doctors. They can't figure out what it is. They think he had something wrong with the hole that goes through his spine up to his brain, and that there was something there enlarged. That was the only thing they thought they could do to fix this. Peter carries around an emergency pack of extremely powerful painkiller and to numb the pain in his head. He carries four pills around. He has to take them. It's kind of like Josiah or Caleb with a diabetic having to have that shot if they got in trouble. This just helped Peter cope with his thing without passing out. That's how bad he was. I was going to a ball game, taking my son down to a game, and came back, and I hear all this noise over in the boys' bathroom, and all I hear is Peter yelling, "No more headaches. No more headaches." He just yelled at. Nobody went in and laid hands on Peter. No one just did all this stuff. Peter was overwhelmed during the worship time. And then all of a sudden, the guys went in and they began praying over him. They took him in and started praying over him. And he just kept telling them, there's no more pain. He was overwhelmed with it. Now, you can call that God delivering him from some kind of pain or sickness in him, or healing him on the spot, whatever it is. All I know is that Peter looked at me for 2 years with his chin this low because he couldn't stand the pain. And all I know now, I feel just like John Newton's song, Amazing Grace. His head is up, and he's smiling, and he's talking in his right mind. And he called me, just to give you guys an update, he called me the other day, and I thought, oh, here it comes, because I'm the doubting Thomas. This really work? He goes, hey, I said, Peter, how you doing? I'm thinking, here it comes. I said, oh, the headaches are back. No. He goes, hey, my brother just wanted to know if you want some deer steaks. Which made me very happy in two ways. One, he didn't have the headaches, and I'm getting some deer steaks, so I'm good. So Peter's still doing well, and praise the Lord for that. God has done that. So as all camps go, we had our bumps and bruises and struggles through the time, but I would say Friday night was probably a hallmark night of sharing. Normally, kids will get up and say this and that. As we close out a Saturday, they'll come and share. There was hardly any sharing on Saturday morning. Friday night really took care of it. One of the guys just got up, and he just got up and said, hey, can I do something? And I got done sharing. Let me back up to Thursday night. Les anglais d'adieu. Les anglais d'adieu. Huh? I want to be a clown for Christ. Rob Graham gave a phenomenal message. To be honest with you, it was really slow when he started. But when he got done, I don't think anybody was not listening. He asked us to get off the line that the world has set for us. this time span. You have to do this and you have to do that. He said, we need to get out that line. Then he talked about Francis of Assisi. You guys know who he is? I didn't know the story about it. Apparently, when he found Christ, he went to his father, who was apparently wealthy, and basically ripped himself of all of his clothes, handed his clothes to his father, and walked away. And his people were called clowns, the followers of his. And the word was legion. It's something, I get it wrong. I think it's legion. Is it glare or gare? Legion gare dadu. The Latin guys, I call them dudas instead of dadus. So I really don't know what that means. But anyway, they called them clowns for Christ because they would go outside of the Orthodox. They just went and did whatever they were supposed to do. And they walked and talked and lived the life of Christ, serving people and putting on a vow of poverty and all this stuff. And it was a pretty big challenge. It's like, why don't we step out in this world off the line that says wear these kind of clothes, do these kind of things, and just walk for Christ? That was the challenge that night. The next night, one guy got up. I said, anybody have anything to share? And this guy gets up and he goes, yeah, I want to share something. And he confesses openly. He says, look, girls, I've been looking at you wrong. I don't like this. And this guy goes on for a few minutes talking about how the way they're wearing their clothes. And he said, I just want to say I'm sorry. Another guy from Illinois who's standing up here, he's a young man. He stands up. He didn't stand up. He raises his hand too. And I said, oh, you want to say something too? He goes, no, me too. I'm having this struggle. But by the time we got done, the guys were up rebuking the girls for the way they were dressing. I have never, ever seen that in almost 30 years of youth ministry. The men stood up. The young men stood up. There's a guy named Ron doing a ministry down in STL, St. Louis, an outreach. They're trying to get the young men in the city back into the churches. And he says, I think there's a new guard coming up. Ladies, you have run the race so well for so long, and we have set back for so long. And I'm telling you, there's a new guard coming up. And these men are taking a stand and risking their very whole identity of the cool Christian guy and saying, we're just going to, you know what? And before we got done, all the guys doing it. I talked to two of the girls who went and changed their wardrobe that week. They literally did that because they said, I had no idea. And I think they were kind of, you know. But they knew. And they came back and one said, he was right. He was right. We saw then from that one confession, so many things started happening. And then kids started sharing deep stuff. Not like, I just want to be good guy next week. It was like, I have a struggle with this. I don't want to go back and do this again. I want to drop this now. It got very heavy and very deep. One of the deepest sharing times we've ever had at camp. I would summarize the camp by the thing that happened the last day. My wife had this vision a long time ago, and she saw fireballs hitting all over the ranch, all over the world. And she really didn't have any way to describe it. Now, this is amazing. Kayla Inman had a vision about something, and she shared with me that was something like what was about to happen. We kind of put our last night together, trying to send them home with a memory peg. A couple years ago, it was the red scarf to remember about the persecuted church. We wanted to send them home with some kind of thing just to hang on to with this week what it was about. And then I'll let these guys share. But basically, we ended up getting a bunch of little candles in the little tins. So we got those. We tried all kinds of things. We wanted them to say, you're the light of the world. What happens when you're walking up and there's this big fire up here and this church is on fire, right? And it's light, and then the light goes out. What happens to you? Do you stop being the church? Do you stop walking? So many give up in the midst of this time. And we were trying to push to them, look, all you got to do is go do what you're supposed to do. You have the light within you. You're going to shine and people are going to turn and look and see what you have, right? So we did this thing and then we were sitting down there. Well, me and my smart ideas, you know, I have one candle, and I said, okay, we'll get these little votive candles, and Jeff, you hand these out, and then they can light them, and they can go sit down on the hill and kind of pray and have a contemplative time with the Lord and kind of go through what went through this week, and then we'll come back and have some worship and close up the night, right? Well, the wind was blowing. I couldn't understand what was taking so long. Somebody comes back and goes, hey, they're like relighting their candles like 60 times. I'm like, well, that's not working good. And then the coolest thing happened. Because if you've been to the ranch, there's an amphitheater back here and then this big hill, green grass back there, just like, an outside amphitheater area. And he started, and we started seeing, Kim couldn't see it at that point. She hadn't been down there. And I started seeing it, and it said they looked like fireballs. When they sat down, when they kept it lit, they would turn this way from the wind. I was back like where Steve is at. When they turned around and they sat down on the ground, their whole body, you couldn't see it. It just illuminated like a fireball hitting the earth. When you could see, I wish you were there to see it. Because they were just here and there. They weren't all clustered. There would be one here. Because some of the lights, they couldn't get relit. But it was like these random fireballs were just sitting down. And you could see this red glow the whole time. And I started saying, there's something going on here. I don't know what's happening with this little thing, this little bitty tiny candle. Get this, remember. Do you remember what I said? The candle was that big. I am at least 100 yards from them. It's that big. That little candle was sitting in their lap, being protected. And from where I was standing, 100 yards away, they were luminescent. I mean, they were huge. You could like, it was literally big and red from 200 yards away. If a little candle with a little tiny wick can light up someone from 100 yards away, and I can visibly see it, what do we look like when we walk out into the darkness and try and share with them? We blow the place apart. Who walked by me and said, I can't look at you? Somebody just told me, said, you're too bright. Who said that? Somebody told me that, said, I can't look at you. Yeah, Andrea goes, I can't look at you. Your lights, your shirts are bright. And I was like, that's the point. That's the point. So what I want to say is the camp was about being a light in the darkness. Let me encourage the body. So many of you are doing such a good work. If I could do anything to you, understand that the darkness doesn't understand you. So what? That's why we're doing this, right? We're going for that reason. And that's what we talked about, the light within. So I'm going to leave it and turn it over to, David's going to come up and he'll MC from here. But thank you. And many of you prayed for us all week. No question. It changes things. No question. So thanks for supporting us and coming out and for the body here and all you guys did too. So we had an awesome week and lots of cool stuff. And hopefully you'll hear some from the guys and gals here.
Good. So I know some of the young people like to share what the Lord did for them. And so you're volunteering, Stoney Tyler?
I could talk for a really long time about what God did to me this past week, but I think the main thing he really showed me was before camp, I really never prayed very much because I never really saw anything happen when I did. But this week, while at camp, just like so many prayers were answered, mine and other people's, and he just really showed me the power of prayer and what it can do. Yeah. That's all I got.
Thank you. All right. Micah Sanders.
Hey guys, my name is Micah. For those of you who don't know me, I was a games director this year at camp, and I don't know, for those of you who heard this last night, sorry, you have to hear it again, but I went to camp every year thinking like God's going to do something great in me because, I went there this year thinking that because every other year he had. So let's see, Sunday night we get out there, all the counselors and staff got out there and we had like a pre-camp meeting and we talked a lot, and right there, God had already started to do something to me. He just kind of broke me down that night while we were doing worship and told me there were some things I needed to change. And so that was just a great night for me. And then the campers got there on Monday, and from there on out, I got extremely busy. And throughout the entire week, I only got to sit in on 3 whole messages that were, like, taught. And we had, like, I don't know, 4 messages a day, 3 or 4 a day. I was just so busy preparing games and all this stuff and doing repairs on whatever. And so it was very frustrating for me. We came out there a couple days before camp, and we raised the diving board on the dock. And then on Tuesday, Dan McAfee, due to his weight, broke it. And so you know, he broke the diving board. And so about 10:30 that morning, Greg, the game, my games assistant, and I, we went to Troy and we got some hardware to like fix the diving board and all this stuff. And Mr. Tim had this crazy plan of his way to fix it, and I didn't see it. He had the vision for it, but neither Greg nor I saw how that was supposed to get done. But we tried as hard as we could, and we were out there from probably 1 to 4 o'clock through like the whole free time working on that. And that was supposed to be my free day to go fishing with Jordan. And so like I didn't get to do that. I was very frustrated. I was out there getting sunburned trying to fix this dock all day long, and it wasn't working. We were just like basically damaging it. And so anyways, we kind of just like sat back for a minute, rethought it, and like we ended up getting it fixed in like 30 minutes after that. And then that was just, well, let me go back a little bit. When Greg and I were driving in town, I was like, dude, I am so frustrated. I haven't got to listen to a single message yet. I feel like I haven't gotten anything since Sunday night. Like, I didn't get to read my Bible one time before then because I was literally doing something at every point in the day. And so Greg was like, dude, God has you where you are for a reason. He has you running around. Like he shared last night, we weren't supposed to be like the ones having all the fun. We were supposed to be the ones like serving. And so he's like, God has you where you are, and he's going to teach you what he wants to teach you, and that's the way it's going to be. So you need to just like chill right now, relax, and look, try and see what God is trying to teach you. So anyways, that day he was just breaking both of us down like repeatedly, and that was Wednesday. And then Wednesday night was the night when Peter was healed, and it was really cool because like I was standing here worshiping, and like this was it was just amazing. Peter was right over here and he was on the ground just sobbing, and I knew something was going on. I was praying for him. And then Travis Parker, bless his heart, he got up to preach his message, and like he starts talking and Peter's like still sitting here like weeping, and it was kind of like, it was almost like awkward because he's like giving this message and there's a kid like crying here. So a bunch of different guys, they like help him up, and you could just tell Peter was just like, I don't know, he was being moved. He could hardly even walk. They had to help him to the bathroom. So, like, they go in the bathroom, and you can still pretty much hear everything in the bathroom from, like, out there, especially Mr. Benson. So Travis is out here giving this great message, just an awesome message. And you can hear, like, every 3 or 4 minutes, everyone, all the guys in the bathroom just get like overjoyed, and they're like, yeah, like cheering, you know, like, and it was, and then like we were all out there listening to the message, and we would like cheer back at them and stuff, you know. And then the funniest thing, like I didn't really know what was going on with Peter. I knew something great was going on, but I was like, I'm supposed to sit here and listen to the message. But then like, I figured out what happened because, like, Mr. Benson does one of these. He's like, boom, the headaches are gone. And he, like, hugs Tim and hugs Justice, and they're crying right there. And so once this happens, I'm like, oh, this is so awesome. I've got to go pray with Peter and all the guys. So I go over there, and I go around in the bathroom, and everyone is just crying and just extremely filled with joy. And then we start praying over him. We're thanking God, and it was funny because JC, you were in there praying, I remember, and we're all praying, and this fly comes up and bites JC on the back, and like there's horse flies out there like crazy. So this fly bites him, and he starts swatting at it, and he's like, ah, you know. And Mr. Benson's praying, and he's like, God, we thank you that you are the God of the universe, and you have the power to do miracles, and that Satan is the Lord of the flies. And he's like, we thank you that you have the power over Satan, you know. And and it, like that showed right then and there the spiritual warfare that it really goes on at camp. And so yeah, I also want to say about Friday night, you know, we had the candles, and those are some dinky little candles, and we're all out there in the wind's kind of blowing, you know, and I got my candle, and I was planning to, like, walk back up on the hill and just kind of be by myself and have my alone time with God. But then, like, plans changed when I took 10 steps and my candle blew out. So I was like, man, this stinks, you know. So I went back and lit my candle. I walk back, sit down, it blows out again. And then I look over to this side, and there's someone sitting there, like, 5-10 feet away from me, and I walk over and they light my candle, and I sit down, and then, like, their candle blows out. They come over, I light their candle, and it was really cool because it was really symbolic of our Christian walk and how you know, you'll go to camp and God will just light your fire. You'll be on fire, and then something will happen a week later down the road, and your candle will be blown out, and then a believer will come back along and pick you up. And it was just really cool to see all of that happening. And and then, like, after camp, I don't know. I talked to a lot of people yesterday, and it seemed like after camp was the time when the devil started to really attack us. Like, he in years past, he attacked us at camp and just sometimes made stuff miserable, you know. And then this year, he waited till afterwards to attack us. I went to another camp last week. I was counseling at. I left the day after camp, and to be honest with you, when I got there, I didn't want to be there at all. I was very, like, I didn't have a good attitude about it at all. I just didn't want to be there. I wanted to be home with my family, and I was homesick and stuff. But then one of the nights, one of my little campers, he came up to me and was talking to me, and, like, he said, he told me that his dad abused him, and that his dad, his dad tried to just commit a heinous act with his 9-year-old sister, and I knew right then and there that that's why God had me there, and it was to comfort this kid, you know. And the little kid's like, his sister the whole time was like, "Don't say anything, Isaiah. Don't say anything." He's like, "Micah cares. We have to tell him. We have to get help for this." And this is like this little 10-year-old kid saying this. And so I brought it to the camp, like, directors, and they were able to work the situation out. And it was just really, it really touched me because the message at camp was, like, to be a light to the world. And I felt like I had been convicted because I had not been a light in certain areas of my life, at work or whatever. And so I felt like I was finally able to, like, be a light to someone, be a light to this little kid here. And his sister afterwards, after everything was worked out, you know, she was so happy. And she came up to me the last day right before she left, and she gave me this big hug. And she's like, "Oh, I love you, Micah. Thank you so much for what you've done." Their family is, like, pretty poor. They didn't have much money or anything, but she pulls out a dollar bill and she gives me the dollar bill. And I was like, "Ariana, you don't have to give me this." And she's like, "I just wanted to give you this because I wanted to thank you for what you did for me." And so I was, like, trying not to cry in front of everyone, but it was just a good 2 weeks for me. And, I just learned a lot. I encourage you all to keep everyone in your prayers who was at camp, especially because the devil is just trying to tear everyone down right now. And then I just talked a long time, but I want to say two more things, and they're really, really short, I promise. I'll keep this brief. Okay. All right. So okay, so I just wanted to acknowledge Greg, my friend Greg Shutnick, who was my games assistant. He was really just a beast all weekend. I would not have been able to do anything without him. He just really, really helped me out, and he was just a servant this week or last week, and it was just a blessing to me. And then Justice Whitty right here. This kid sacrificed so much, and so much of his time and everything at camp. I'm not even joking. He was getting maybe 3 hours of sleep a night, and this was for over a week. And Justice, like, you just blessed me just seeing you do all that stuff last week. And it definitely wouldn't have been the same without you. So I just really appreciate all the work that you put in. And, yeah, so I guess I'm done.
All right. We appreciate you, man, even though you talk a lot. So. All right, so we don't have much time, so if you want to share anything, raise your hand now and try to keep them a little abbreviated. Maybe we can have some more sharing next week if you'd like. Dawn, hold on 1 minute. Ladies first. Dawn, Terry.
I wasn't at camp this year, and there's...
No.
I just want to thank you. I dropped off a child with you on Monday, and I brought home a completely different child. So we are saving now because next year all three of our children will be going.
Well, I guess I got to keep this brief. There is a lot I could say. Like Micah, God worked on everybody throughout the week. It was really awesome. I really want to, I felt I needed to share. I definitely agree with Micah. Satan has been definitely attacking everyone that's been at camp. This whole last week has been really strenuous for me. One, because I work at the movie theater and Twilight came out, but the other, just because I definitely saw attacks, and it wasn't so much on me, but it was on my family. And praise God, because he equipped me to be a strength for them and then, you know, help them through the struggles that they were going through. And then camp was just awesome because I know some of you know what I've been praying for. I've been asking for God to give me faith the size of an apple. And we all know what faith the size of a mustard seed can do. And it was really interesting because God's having me really work on my faith. And I was really, I didn't know what was going on because it was kind of a desert time for me at camp. And really, really different because I was really looking for God to move and waiting for God to move, and like nothing big was happening. And I knew big things were happening around me, but I couldn't see it, and I wanted to see it. But then I knew the Spirit was moving because every time something big was happening, I always had the tingling in the back of my neck or the Holy Spirit bumps. So it was just awesome. And then, that's pretty much it.
Good. We're going to have Justice come on up. You want to share? Because we're going to wrap it up. You don't need to. You have a fan club of one back there.
All right. The truth about this, what Micah said, and I didn't know, I didn't even think about taking a chance earlier. I just want to say this about and echo what Micah said. The staff consisted of Jeff and Ravonda Dawson, my wife Kim, and Justice, not me. I just oversaw. I went and hung out in my little camper when I wanted to. I walked around and stirred up trouble. I told them, don't let me get in your way. And like 5 minutes after I'm there, I'm messing up everything. Justice, and I think all the staff would agree, was phenomenal. And God used him, and he learned, and he got broken. At the same time, he was willing to do that. And I just want to point out something here. I really do believe there's a new guard, because those are all young men that came up here and shared their hearts with you today. Amen? Keep praying for them, because they are under the fire. And I had to do this because I'm doing it. I gave my message on them and confessed to me. You remember that Casting Crowns song? Just talking about the rain? Mulling over things that are important. Talking about, when am I going to start talking to my friend about Christ? Instead of just talking about the rain. And so this week, I've been at my watering hole. And most of you know where it's at, but I'm not going to tell you. So nobody comes down there and starts invading it. And I have had three intense conversations with the manager and a couple other girls and guys down there. And I'm praying for a girl that's pregnant out of wedlock there, and she's really responding. I'm tired of just talking about the rain. It's time to go out and share the truth with them about God's love. And that's what our camp is all about. So you keep me accountable and ask me, are you just talking about the rain or are you sharing? That's the word from me. All right. And Justice, great job, man.
Good. Good word. Okay, Justice is not leaping up here, so
I am going to really keep this brief. For real. Camp was awesome. I'm being signaled to in the back. I don't know what that means. But camp was great, and lots of cool stuff happened, and I won't go into a lot of it. You can ask me later if you want. But like they were saying about the guys and the girls staff we had this year for counselors, every year I could remember we were pulling on high schoolers to be counselors to high schoolers at camp. And it was like, you know, it was just what we had. But God blessed us this year. We had, I was praying for 8 guy counselors and 8 girl counselors all out of high school this year. And all of them came. I actually had to turn people away, which was crazy. So God provided an excellent staff. And the things I saw in Spencer and Micah and Stoney and all the other guys just like growing was awesome. My brother, just the things that God used them to do was just awesome. And I've been praying for it for a long time. So that was just really cool to see, as well as the girls. If you were a counselor or staff, I just want you to stand up so people can see who you were. Like Amy Wilson sitting down over here. And there were a lot of others that aren't here. They're probably asleep or something. But they were just awesome. And they really made my week. God used them in a lot of awesome ways. And that's all I'm going to say. If you have other questions, you can talk to me later.
Great. Awesome. Well, I got an email from somebody who said, I haven't heard you preach in 5 weeks. So I promise that I will preach, but not today. Actually, next week I'll be starting a new sermon series, so I encourage you to come back and stay, and you're going to get a lot of the word throughout the summer. But I think it's important that we hear what God is doing in people's lives, amen? And it's exciting, and I think Tim made a very, very good point about the fact that God is working in the young men. Very often we see in Christian homes, we see the young women embrace the faith and the young men, I'm not so sure about that. And all the statistics I read are not good. Up to 85% of evangelical kids that go into college professing Christ leave college either denying him or doubting him. And so it's very encouraging to see young men, not only in their teens, but really young adults, their men, who are embracing the faith and attempting to walk out their faith. So I wanted to share a word of exhortation. This wasn't planned. I actually did have a sermon prepared that I thought I might have an opportunity to get to. But I want to share this word from 2 John. This is for all of us, but especially for those of you that were at camp, or even those of you, we have a large team going to Belize soon. We have a worship band that's going to be going to an Indian reservation. And you go on these missions, God is there and he's working, and it's exciting. And then you come back to reality. But what's the reality? Is that reality or is that reality? You know, I think that's reality. I think we define normal as not seeing the Lord do miraculous things, not seeing him use us, not stepping out. That's not normal Christianity, not if you read the book of Acts. Normal Christianity is God moving and working through his people to touch other lives, whether it's building up the brethren in the faith, whether it's reaching the lost with the gospel, whether it's God working to provide for the material needs of people, the physical needs of people. The Lord is alive and working in his people. Amen? Amen? We are the body of Christ. And what Christ wants to do on the earth, he will do through his body. And that's us. However, when we go to a camp, and I've been to many of them, and retreats and different things, the Lord often works in a special way. And I think part of the reason is, number one, people are praying, and number two, people are expecting. And Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it. So when you expect and you have expectant faith, the Lord honors that. And so then he speaks to you or he touches you in a unique way. But John says this, and I think it's good for all of us, but especially for those who received something recently. He says, look to yourselves that you do not lose those things we worked for, but that you may receive a full reward. Do not lose. And this is what I've seen over the years. I've seen, whether it's a phenomenal church service where people are coming down and repenting and things are happening, or whether it's a camp or whether it's a mission trip or whether it's this or that, people have an experience, and it's real. It's not just emotional. It's God working in their lives. It's God speaking to them. It's God changing them, and it's real. And they have a real encounter with the Lord that is significant and meaningful. But very often what happens is they do not receive the full reward of that encounter. Oh, well, camp's over. Let's go back to normal. You see, the full reward isn't the encounter. The full reward is walking out what God put into you during that encounter, walking it out. And John's exhortation to receive the full reward, there's an admonition here, a warning. Don't lose what God put into you. Don't lose it. Whatever he spoke to you, take that then. Take it into your prayer closet. Take it in your time of meditation. Take it into your church. Take it into your circle of friends and apply what God put in you. Walk out what God put in you. Was there a lot of prayer at camp? Then you guys ought to be meeting every week for prayer. A lot of Bible study? Get together. When you go out after church, when you go out after a meeting, instead of just talking about sports, get your Bibles out, talk about the Word of God. That's the full reward. The full reward is not what we experience in a day, in a week, at a moment, on a trip. The full reward is walking out whatever God puts in us. And as you walk it out, it becomes part of your life. It becomes woven into who you are. And then you don't lose it, because it's who you are. So, you know, we Christians, we have these compartments. And so we go to church and we read our Bibles. And then we go out after church to a restaurant and we leave our Bibles in the car. Why? We'll go to a Christian event and talk about the Lord. And then when we're in a, quote, non-Christian setting, we talk about something else. Why? I mean, our Christianity ought to permeate every area of our lives. Amen? Every aspect. And so when we come together and God does something special, he may speak you in a special way. He may touch you in a special way during worship, for example. That is given to you, not just for that moment, but that you walk it out in your home, in your community, in your work, in your friendships. And then by doing that, you gain the full reward of what he's given you. I worked with youth for many years, and I can tell you this. I saw a lot of wonderful things happen. I saw the Lord save many kids. I saw many, many, many good things happen, but I saw a lot of tragedies too. And I saw a lot of young kids who were doing really good that fell away. I saw a lot of kids who did not make it. And it's rough out there. Amen? Amen. And you guys, You young people, you need to you need to truly, truly come together and make a decision together that you are going to persevere. It's going to take that. You're going to have to encourage one another, pray with one another, share your Bibles with one another, and do ministry with one another. It's going to take that. None of you are going to make it alone. I can tell you that. You cannot make it alone. You need one another. And you need to band together and take this thing, this faith, this Jesus that you've learned about from your infancy, take him seriously. And then take him into every area of your life. Amen? Do not lose the full reward. Don't lose it. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in so many lives here. I thank you for the work that you did at the camp. I thank you for the testimonies we heard, and I know there are many more. And Father, I pray that that work would continue. And I believe, Father, that you will be faithful to continue it if we will be faithful to respond. And I pray for all of these young people, and really I pray for all of us, that we would walk out the things you've already put into us. And we would receive a full reward of the work that you're doing in our midst. I pray, God, your protection on this generation. Lord, there's so many snares out there. I pray, God, that you would free them from the lure of the world and free them, Father, from the seductions of the enemy. And I pray for the young men to have pure hearts. I pray for the young women to be devoted in purity to Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord God, that you would use these young men and these young women to reach an entire generation. And I ask it in Jesus' name.